We continue our study in Mark 13, verses 24 through 27. We've been looking at the coming of Christ. Matthew 24:30 records the Lord's words this way in regard to his coming. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. If you will remember, this whole sermon on the events of the end times was precipitated by a question from our Lord's disciples in verse 4 of Mark 13, where it says, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" Jesus had told them that the temple would be destroyed, and they want to know when this will be. They expected that it would be very soon. They believed Jesus was on the verge of setting up his kingdom. After all, he had cleansed the temple. He had demonstrated the hypocrisy of the religious elite. They did not understand that while the temple would be destroyed in a few short years, the rest of the Lord's prophecy would not be fulfilled until thousands of years later. They wanted to know the sign of his coming. In verses 5 to 25, he gave them, of Mark 13, he gave them a list of general signs that do not predict when Jesus will come, but they do teach what the world would be like when he does come. We're saying that there'd be great tribulation going on. We're seeing that the Lord will put out the sun and the moon. A terrifying scene develops in the heavens as the planets, the stars, and other heavenly bodies rampage throughout the universe. And it speaks of a sign, of a sign, a sign of his coming. What is that sign? The early church fathers believed that after the heavens went dark, the Lord would fill the darkened sky with a bright red cross. But the Bible doesn't say anything about that. Other theologians believed that the heavens would be filled with the Shekinah glory of God. They believed that the glory of God will light the heavens. That's basically closer to the truth. So what is the sign that Matthew speaks of? The scripture speaks of the sign. It isn't a cross. It isn't some light sent from God. The sign is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the clouds above the earth. No matter what your system of prophecy is, we can all agree on that. The appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds above the earth. With that in mind, let's take a moment to consider how Jesus will come and what is coming will be like. Mark 13, verse 26 tells us, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great, coming in the clouds with great power and glory." We can all agree on that. The Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. So first of all, Christ will come in splendor. He will come in glory. It says he will come in the clouds with glory. When Jesus comes back, he will appear in his unveiled glory. His unveiled glory. The world has had glimpses of that glory before. In Matthew 17, Peter, James, and John saw a little of it. Excuse me. Adam caught a glimpse of his glory when they walked together in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden. Israel had a glimpse of it when the Shekinah glory of God dwelt between the wings of the cherubim in the tabernacle and the temple. They saw when it led them as a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. They also saw it when it departed from this world. When Jesus appears, he will appear in clouds of glory. This idea of Jesus being the clouds of glory is all throughout the Word of God. When Jesus ascended back into heaven, Acts 1:9-11 tells us that a cloud received them out of their sight. Angels that were standing there told the disciples that Jesus would come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. In Daniel, it says that he will come with the clouds of heaven. John tells us he'll come with the clouds. Mark, Matthew, and Luke all say the same thing. Jesus is coming in the clouds when he returns to this world. Clouds of glory. Coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Do you know him? Do you know him? This one that is coming in great power and glory. As sure as Christ was born, this will take place. You may say, what's the point? What's the point? The Bible's clear that our God rides on the clouds. Psalm 104:3 says he makes the clouds his chariots. Isaiah 19:1 says that the Lord rides on a swift cloud. Revelation 1:7 said he's coming with clouds. I personally believe that these are special clouds, clouds of glory. They are bright clouds. They will arrest the attention of all who will see them. They're not going to be like the clouds that you see every day. He's coming in the clouds with great power and glory. The one that you've mocked, the one that you've laughed at, the one whose name you've taken in vain is coming with great power and glory. Where do you stand with him today? Is he your savior? Or is he your judge? He's coming with great power and glory. Do you know him? He's not only coming in glory, but he's coming in strength. We look at the world today and we think that some nations have great power, great strength. But it says, Mark says he's coming with great power. He's coming with strength, great power and glory, like the world has never seen. And when Jesus comes, he's coming with power and strength, and no power on earth will be able to oppose him. Are you fearful of supposing great countries? You need to be fearful of the one that's coming on the clouds. When he comes, he will come with a display of his strength in the heavens above and on the earth below. Do you know him? Where do you stand with this Jesus Christ, this one that is coming in splendor and strength and glory? His power will be displayed in the chaos of the heavens, as we read the last time in our studies. When he comes, where do you stand with him? Where do you stand? When the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory and strength. Where do you stand with this one? Coming with great power and glory and strength, and he's coming with salvation. He's coming with salvation. Mark 13:27 says, and then he will send his angels and gather together his elect. His elect, his chosen ones from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Where are you today with Christ? Are you of the elect? Will you be gathered together? Will you be gathered together by his angels? Where do you stand with this Christ today who's coming in great power and glory? Do you know him in salvation? Is he your Messiah? Is he your Messiah? Where do you stand with this Christ today? The scripture says that everyone is not going to rejoice when Jesus Christ returns. There'll be some that rejoice. Those that are of his elect, they will rejoice. And Matthew 24:30 says, "And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Shall it be a day of great celebration for you, or will be a day of mourning like never before? As we have already seen, many will die of sheer terror when Jesus comes. Their hearts will fail. They will drop dead because of fear. Others will pray for the mountains to fall on them and to hide from his face." Do you realize this day is going to come upon this earth? You can mock and laugh now, but this is guaranteed. Revelation 6:15-17. "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. And who is able to stand?'" Where will you be in that day? Will you continue on your way? Continue on your way saying, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die"? Let us continue to party. Let us continue to pursue ourselves. Let us continue to indulge in sin and wickedness. For there is no Christ, there is no return of this one that's been predicted. But his birth was predicted, his death was predicted. Those events have taken place. And his coming again is predicted, and he will come again. Where will you be that day? If you are a Jew, will Zechariah 12:10 be said of you, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." Where will you be in that day? The Lord is coming about. And I realize that prophecy can be complex and it can be confusing. So I just want to simplify this for you. I want to leave you with the understanding that Christ is coming again. We all can agree upon that, no matter what system of prophecy that we would follow. He is coming again. And where shall you be in that day? "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." Jesus is coming again. The scripture is abundantly clear of that fact. John 14:3 tells us, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Are you going to be there with Christ? Has he gone and prepared a place for you? And if he has gone and prepared a place for you, what manner of lives should we live? Should we not be all in for Jesus Christ, considering the things that's going to come upon this world? That Christ is coming again. What manner of men should we be? What manner of women should we be? Should we not be about our master's business? Or shall we love the world and pursue the things of the world? Are we disregarding Acts 1:9-11? "Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. What manner of life should we live? Should we live? What are you going to say? Bill, you're guilt tripping me. Why you want to say these things to me? Because I love you and I love the brethren. And the scripture exhorts us to redeem the time. To redeem the time. Do you not realize that you've been spared the wrath of God? It's not so much that you, the Lord saved you that fix all your problems and fix your family, fix your kids, fix your car, and fix everything else in your life. Christ came and redeemed you and saved you from the wrath of God. We're so wrapped up in other things, and the wrath of God, it says, is being poured out on the world. It's being poured out. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the beginning of it. You look around you and you see all the horror and terror and terrorism and the health of people, the earthquakes and all of this stuff, the collapse of governments, the anarchy. You look around and you see all this stuff. This is just the beginning of the wrath of God being poured out. And when Christ comes, the wrath of God will be poured out. The wrath of God will be poured out. And then that's just for those that are alive on the earth. Then after that, there's the judgment and then hell for all eternity. And I'm not trying to dabble in sensationalism. I'm just simply telling you what the scripture says. There is the wrath of God being poured out. The wrath of God will be poured out. And the wrath of God is for all eternity. And there's no way to soften that or to sugarcoat that. I'm not yelling and screaming like a fire and brimstone preacher. I'm just simply trying to appeal to you. If these things are true, if these things be true, if the Son of Man is coming back on the clouds of glory, what are we going to do with that? If you're an unbeliever, what are you going to do with that? And if you're a believer, what are you going to do with that? If you're an unbeliever and this Christ is coming back and all of the things that Mark says are going to happen, is going to happen. I mean, we can argue about the Antichrist and the European Union and all these other things. Who's the Antichrist and if there is an Antichrist and the tribulation. But we cannot argue that in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. You can't argue with that. That's either true or it's not true. And if it is true, and if you're an unbeliever, what are you going to do about it? Christ said there's something you can do about it. Repent and believe. If you're an unbeliever, if you're not regenerated, if you've never been born again, then come to Jesus Christ today. Come with all your sin and your wickedness and everything, and repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And if you are a child of God, if you are a child of God and you're looking forward to that day that he comes, what lives of gratitude should we live? Gratitude that we've been spared from the wrath of God. Love for our brothers and our sisters and our family members, our neighbors, our co-workers, even our enemies. Should we just be laying up treasures here on earth that's going to be nothing but wood, hay, and stubble? Is that it? You're going to spend all your life pursuing some career to get rich and get houses and cars and planes and vacations and CDs and DVDs and come on. I mean, do you open a Bible up and somehow the Bible teaches you that? It says, pick up your cross, lay down your life. He that would want to find his life got to lose it. And yes, it's all a grace. I'm not just saying you're saved by your works. You're saved by grace. But somebody that's been saved by grace says, wow, I've been spared. I've been redeemed. I've been regenerated. I've been adopted. I'm of the elect. How should I live my life? And Father, may you turn us towards Jesus Christ. If we've never been saved, we need to look to Christ. And if we are saved, we need to look to Christ. Because this world and all of history is about this one that's coming in the clouds with great power and glory. You want to know the meaning of life? The meaning of life is Jesus Christ. No matter what road you go down there, and no matter what circumstance or area of life, whatever road you go down there, at the end of that road is Jesus Christ. It's all about Christ. To him and through him and for him are all things. That's the meaning of life. It's Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. There's nobody in the history of the world like Jesus Christ. There has never been anyone. There had never been as many people to worship him. It's all about Jesus Christ. That is the meaning of life. When I was a young boy, I used to wonder, what's the meaning of life? What am I here for? What is this all about? It's all about Jesus Christ. I would beg you and plead with you today, if you know not Christ, to come to him. For the wrath of God is being poured out, and this is just the beginning. And if you are a child of God, let us live lives of gratitude and love, considering we've been delivered from the wrath of God to come. It's all about Jesus Christ.